This morning we continue in our new series called Living. You'll have spotted that if it's your first time here. We'll be working through the book of Acts over these next few weeks and months, probably into next year. And we look forward to unpacking that. Today we're thinking about living with... living with an outward focus... Okay, they'll battle away with the gremlins at the back. But the passage today is a dream passage for a pastor to speak from. And I've loved preparing for this today, and I believe that God wants to speak to us as individuals and as a church as a whole. But before we start to unpack this passage, the context for what we read is incredibly helpful. Because a very short time before the passage we're going to look at in Acts chapter 2, there was a small group of people who followed Jesus. Marshall came and taught us last week about the coming of the Holy Spirit and how that was going to be the catalyst for reaching out for others to be saved, for outreach to begin. And in a moment, just before we come to the passage today, in a moment, this small group of believers has... a new influx of 3,000 new believers in one day. Brand new Christians who had responded to Peter's teaching. It was such an exciting time for the early church. And I was well aware of Acts chapter 2, the passage that we're going to look at, but I guess I had forgotten something of the scale of what this early church is dealing with. In my mind, I suppose it was still that small group of dedicated followers. This group who had known each other so intimately, so well, suddenly becomes a huge congregation of people who probably don't even know each other's names. I wonder if that sounds a little bit familiar for some of you. For some of you, there's a small echo of that in the church here that has moved from a group of 40 or so to over 250 people who come regularly to meet in this building. So how can this leadership in the Old Testament and a small group of believers adapt to such a rapidly changing scenario? They had to be clear. They had to simply define what they were about. They had to establish their identity as the church. There'd never been a church before like this. And so they had to establish their identity. And it's something we seek to do with the pre-membership course in the church here. But I was thinking, maybe you're a long-term member here. You never did a pre-membership. You might not have got in if you had. No, you would have. Maybe you've never done that course. Don't take it personally, Wes. That's right, free transfer, I think. But if you've not seen that, I would encourage you to get it and even just have a read through it just to see what you are a part of today as a church here in case you don't know. But if you have been coming along to church here for a period of time and you'd like to know more, you'd like to do the pre-membership, then please speak to myself or Clive and we'd be glad to meet up with you to do that. So here's our passage. We just heard it from Peter. I'm not going to read it through again this section, but we will highlight sections as we go along, because this first section is a concise definition of what the early church was about, and it's also something of a blueprint for us today. All of our core values at KCC are mentioned directly or indirectly in this little section of God's Word. Hopefully you'll see them a little bit bigger there. We've got God's Word in terms of teaching. We've got prayer. We've got fellowship. We've got worship. There are evident, credible lives going on here and people being saved through their outreach as God's people in Jerusalem. So this was how the initial infrastructure was set up. And it's one when it's used today that is the most effective one to follow. But there's a key word that maybe I have skipped over in the past because I think of all these important things, but a very important word at the beginning is this devotion. They were devoted. And my mind immediately went to Anna Bartholomew and her devotion to Ian, particularly at this time as he's in hospital. She is motivated by love. She's passionate. She is committed to Ian. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, the devotion doesn't come just because it's exciting and there's 3,000 new believers. The devotion perhaps is evidenced more in difficult times, as Anna has shown to us by her tremendous witness as a follower of Christ. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And they loved doing all these things. It wasn't a drag. They weren't going through the motions. It was priority. And it's not changed. These are to be the same priorities for us. Things that we should love to do as God's people. It's so sad to find churches going through the motions. It's tragic to miss out on worshiping the living God. I was at the back this morning and it was great just to have that sense of worship and engaging with God this morning. And to hear from God as we come together as church. I clearly remember Ian Bartholomew telling me that as he drove over the bridge to come to church here, that in his spirit that expectation was rising as he was coming to church, knowing that he would meet with God and hear from God. I don't know about you, but I genuinely love coming to this church, not just because I'm the pastor. I genuinely love it. I have an expectancy as I come here Sunday by Sunday that God is going to speak to me in a personal way. To hear God's word taught, to have fellowship with each other, to break bread and to pray. And I hope you do too. Maybe it's time to stop and think again of what meeting together is all about. And what were the apostles teaching? They didn't have the New Testament. They didn't even have the New Testament. But clearly, as we read some of the sermons, they taught about the love of God. They taught about Christ, the Messiah who had come. How the Old Testament pointed to him as coming into the world to save us from our sin, to bring us hope and eternal life. We are privileged to have the complete Word of God. We aim to be faithful in terms of preaching it, studying it, preparing it, and communicating it, to teach the full truth of the Word of God. As I said, this series in Acts is going to take probably around a year or so, because it's important to spend time working through systematically through books of God's Word. We believe it is the perfect, unchanging Word of God. It's powerful. It changes lives as it did then. And it still changes lives as we've seen in recent weeks here in the church. The early church understood the vital essence of teaching for the Christian life. It's not a new message. It's very much back to basics, a lot of it this morning. To remember what Christian living should be about. How can we become devoted to teaching? I was speaking elsewhere recently and it seemed as if there were no ears to hear what was being said or what God had to say. We must nurture that expectant attitude, have a responsive heart, and be obedient to put into practice what God says to us. There's actually something special about teaching in the local church, because this is specifically prepared for you, for this group of people at this point in our history. It may not be the best. Don't nod. May not be the best, may not be the most eloquent teaching that you'll ever hear, but it is about the power of God and what God has to say to us as a people here as we meet in Kirtliston. I find it amazing that on an average week, there are at least 50 people who can't be here on a Sunday morning, and almost without exception for good reasons. And that may happen to you quite often as well. But I would really, really encourage you. I don't know what the facts and figures are, but if you miss a Sunday, please make a point of listening to the sermon that you've missed. It's online every week, faithfully put together. The quality is good. It's so simple, even I can do it. I don't know if my wife could do it, but almost, I can say that because she's not here. She's not here, no. It's so simple. Please speak to Andy or Colin if you don't know how to do that. But I would really encourage you, particularly if you're a member of the church here, stay with the teaching as we go through the book of Acts. It's available and it's free. Thanks for putting that together, Andy. And church weekend, it's not far away. What a tremendous opportunity to put into practice all these important priorities of the early church. Our speaker, I should really have a drum roll. Our speaker for the church weekend is Dave McCarthy. I don't know if you know Dave McCarthy, but he is a godly man. He's a good man. He's a good teacher. Perhaps best of all, he's a good Glaswegian. Dave McCarthy generally doesn't preach out with his church. And we met with him, Clive and I. And I have to tell you, he was so excited to hear about God at work in this place that he had no hesitation saying, I would love to come and spend time with you. It's not just about filling a gap, well, who will we get to come? But he's going to come and bring God's message to us, and we'll hear from him in June before he comes. Hopefully that will encourage you to come the weekend. There's only a handful of places, Bev. Handful of places left. Also, if you're thinking of coming up just on the Saturday for the day, that is very limited for spaces, so please let Bev know if you would like to do that as well. We'd love to see it full, and they have been fantastic times together as we come to hear more of God's word in that special environment. There are more books and resources available online for Christians and teaching from God's word than ever in history. And if that just seems, if you're lost in all of that, then again, speak to Clive or myself. We'll be glad to point you in the direction of good resources that can help you through the week to grow in your faith. What a fantastic section of scripture this is. It really excites me. There's so much here that we can know today. Look at these words. It's everyone, it's all, it's anyone, it's everything, it's every day. Also dynamic and all-inclusive language to describe something of the overwhelming joy of being the church. The believers were in unity, they were joyful, they were generous in their faith, they were praising God, they were helping and supporting each other, they were loving their community. They were living with an outward focus. They were a united people, a committed people with glad and sincere hearts, a worshipping people who praise God. And the result was that everyone around them was filled with awe and people came to faith. Living for them was about looking upward and looking outward. And I believe it should be that for us too. Let us not lose that focus in the midst of our busy lives. The Bible tells us that by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. And one of the ways that we can do this is through practical care. I wanted to do this a few weeks ago. Unfortunately, Irene wasn't there. Irene Gray is responsible for coordinating practical care in this church. And I have to say, I think she is great. She is a wonderful, caring, loving person. And though she's only taken this on quite recently, I'm so grateful for her attitude, her desire to care for those in need, and literally to go the extra mile. I think that's all she asked me to say about her. The only time I've had to tell her off is when she's taking on too much herself, because she's just got that desire to do whatever she can. So please give Irene appreciation as she comes up to share briefly with us. Thanks, Irene.
Well, I don't know who Colin was speaking about, but you've got me instead. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Irene, and I have kind of started helping out, organising practical support for people in the church that could do with it. And that involves the kind of normal things like meals and lifts for people, walking people's dogs and taking people places and different things like that. And I'm not doing all of that, I hasten to add. Everyone else in the church is doing that. But it's a great way, it's a great easy way for us to show each other the care and the compassion and the love that we have for our family that is this church. Now, the reason I got involved, it's not just about, I thought all I had to do, Jenny, who did this much more efficiently than I did, had sent out a little doodle poll to say there was a particular couple that needed some food making, so I signed up. I thought, I'll manage that, I can, you know, do some food, drop it off, job done. And I wasn't expecting any more than that. But the result of that was what encouraged me to get involved properly. And I did food for this couple who I'll not name, but they know who they are. And I didn't know them really apart from to say hello to on a Sunday morning, which is quite common now that the church is kind of growing and getting bigger. There's lots of people I don't know, as I'm sure, you know, there's a few people you don't know. Anyway, I dropped off this food and they're a lovely couple, invited me in, and over time got to know them a bit better and they got to know me. And I got to tell them a wee bit about myself and our family situation and, you know, some things that needed to change. And to cut a very long story short, I was given some advice that I might not actually have accepted from anyone else. It was very straight to the point, this is what you need to do. And as a result of that, I handed my notice in at work, which was a massive deal. It was a big, big deal. And the story goes on for much longer. Anyway, I'm still at the same job, but my circumstances are completely different. But the moral of the story is that's all I thought I had to do was just cook a casserole, hand it in, job done. But no, I was really blessed through that encounter and through the advice of those people, and I will always be grateful for that. So beware, if you do decide to get involved, it might not just be dropping off a casserole, you know, you might be asked to sell up and move to some far-off place you don't want to go to. But so it's not just a one-sided thing. It's not just you as a, you know, you doing something. You know, that really benefited me, and I'm sure Stuart will agree, our family runs a bit better now because of it. But on the flip side of that, I wanted to bring up Graham and Roxanne, who are a couple I didn't know until a few weeks ago, and have been, you know, have had the privilege of getting to know them. And so if they come up just for a wee sec. So this is Graham and Roxanne, if you don't know who they are. So all of you will have heard of Graham and Roxanne over the last few weeks, but this is them in person. So could you just introduce yourselves just quickly and just tell us what's been going on over the last sort of 4, 5, 6 weeks?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Roxanne and this is my husband, Graham. And we, 4 weeks ago, had a little baby girl called Robin. She came extremely early, 3 months early, which was quite stressful, not just for us, but also for our family as well. It was due to, I got diagnosed with preeclampsia when I was 26 weeks pregnant, and they tried to hold off basically as long as possible, but it only lasted 2 weeks, and I had to have an emergency C-section from that. I think it was pretty stressful for both of us to try and go through. I've spent a lot of time in hospital my entire life because I have kidney problems, so hospital wasn't the stressful part, and it wasn't dealing with us that was a stressful part. It was the fact that we had no control over what was happening to our little girl, and we had no idea what was going to happen once she came out, how she would survive, if she could breathe, anything like that. And we were very fortunate that she came out and she started screaming straight away. So we were like, yes, instantly. So happy about that. And we had a good first 2 days. And then, unfortunately, she developed something called a pneumothorax, which is an air pocket that forms outside of her lung, and it forced her lung to collapse. So then that was awful, because we happened to be there when it happened, so we saw her crash, and then we had to be taken out, and she had to be ventilated, and she had to have a drain put in to drain her lung, and it was just so traumatizing, I think, for us, and something that we'll never forget when that happened at all. Since then, fortunately, she is making slow and steady progress. She's been diagnosed with chronic lung disease just because of the gestation she was when she was born, but she's getting better from that, very slowly but surely, and she was a month old yesterday, so Daddy got cuddles for a month old, which was nice. But yeah, we just, every day, we just kind of take it step by step, and little things, like this week, she gained 27 grams, which is nothing, basically, but we try and be positive that she's, you know, going in the right progress, in the right direction.
No, I mean, the chronic lung disease a bit came as a bit of a shock, because it sounds as though it's something that she's going to live with for the rest of her life and things. But it is something that she can grow out of, and it's something that she's already making great progress with. She has plateaued on her weight gain this week, but she had made leaps and bounds the week before that. So I think it is going to be a roller coaster. They expect her to be in for probably another 8 weeks. We've already been through 4 weeks of it, so to think of another 8 weeks of it is quite difficult. But I mean, the difference between, you know, in the last 4 weeks, we're in every day, so you don't always see it, but you look back at photographs and it's incredible the difference she has now. So
that's great. It's been a real privilege to get to know these two just slowly over the last few weeks, and they've been gracious enough to let us, as a church family, lots of people help them out, just really with food at the minute, and it's been great to do that. And I think people that are able to help get as much of a, you know, as much as a, of a blessing. People should feel loved by their church family, and I think we have a responsibility to be looking out for people, and you know, making sure that if anything needs doing, that we're there to do it. So thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
No, and thank you all for the food as well, because it has been greatly appreciated. One of the things we argue about most is what we're going to have for dinner. So to have that.
Really, all of it. You've not had any dodgy meals. You don't have to tell us who they came from.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for that. If you've not signed up to help, if you just sign up, it doesn't mean that you're going to be doing it all the time. But if we all just did a little bit, we'd only have a little bit to do. And in the past, Jenny did a fantastic job doing that Jenny Weir, which was tremendous too. And the reality was sometimes it did come down to quite a small group of people who would do these things. And I want to really encourage you to think of playing your part. Because if we all do a little bit, it just makes things so much easier as a family here. Here's something the believers did. They ate together, and it's a great way to get to know each other that bit better. They also shared what they had with each other. They gave to those in need. And I've said it recently, and I'm happy to repeat it. I believe that God wants us to be a church that is known for its love and kindness for each other, and also for those outside the doors here from the church, and where you live as well, to take that love of God into the communities where you come from as well. And through that, may God bless us with the favor of the community, just as he did back then and at the beginning of Acts. People were filled with awe at God's signs and wonders. And I've seen a little bit of that just recently as As Friday, I took someone round the church here who's a hairdresser in the village and plays football with us, and told him something of the amazing journey that God has taken us on. And I can genuinely see he was amazed and in awe at this place and how that has come about. It's a common response when people would come round the building. Others are amazed to see a vibrant and a growing church, surprised to find a church that's blessed with so many children, young people who want to follow God and serve God, so many men. They kind of expect that there'll be women here for some reason. A delivery man was so amazed, and he said to me, "I didn't realize church was still a thing." Well, it's still a thing, all right. It's only just beginning. People who come into church, I'm thankful, generally really enjoy being in the service here with a sense of life and a sense of living faith. And I'm so thankful for so many godly and gifted people in this place. And these are all things that we should not take for granted. I would love to take you with me to some of the other churches I go to, because you would appreciate being here so much more. This is a great place to be. I'm not naming those churches, but coming back to our early thought of managing such a growing church at the beginning here in Acts, I think it's clear that they set in place the need to meet together in small groups. They met in each other's homes. The fact is that growing churches do bring challenges, but many of those can be overcome by being part of a small group of people who are committed to each other. We need to break it down. You'll never get close to everyone in this place now. You may be sitting next to a person or near a person who you think is new, and as you speak to them, you may find out that they think that you're new. Someone who hadn't been at church for a while came in, and they were welcomed at the door by someone that they didn't know. And they were asked if they were new, and thought, but this is my church, and I don't know you, and you're welcoming me. But it's a privileged position that we have, despite the challenges that can come. We began with a few, and now we are many. And we trust in a God who says, "I will build my church." All of us can play a part in praying and serving and worshiping and committing to love God and to love each other. My home church is celebrating its 125th anniversary next month. I meant to check with Colin. I think I'm right in saying that we are not quite 10. We're not even 10 yet. So God is only getting started with us here in Kirtliston. They were also devoted to the breaking of bread, and this was in a joyful obedience to Jesus' command. We also come together as a church for communion to regularly remember Jesus and what he has done for us. Breaking of bread will always be a significant part of church life here. And I know last week how exciting it was for people to come to church, to pray upstairs and find a full room of people who were there to pray for specific need, as we thought about Ian's situation. However, we need to be aware. We need to face up honestly to the fact that from the early days of the church here, there has been something of a drift away from corporate prayer. Even though it's a church core value and should be a personal core value, it is clearly not the priority it once was. And I have to say, as a pastor, that is something that is concerning for me. Because prayer is the engine room of the church. Prayer is the power for this church. I don't think any Christian here would argue against its importance, but we need to come back to being devoted to prayer. Not from a guilt trip or because we have to be here, but because we know we need to be here. We need to rely on the power of God through prayer and through praying with each other as God's people. They saw people coming to faith every day. Fantastic. God was at work in such an amazing way. And maybe we need to come back to prayer to see that happen. We long to see more people coming to faith. We can all play our part in that as we pray and witness to those around us. Briefly into chapter 3, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. It's a habit that they were well used to, but now with a whole new understanding and a joy through what Jesus has done for them through his death and resurrection. A bounce in their step as they go to the temple. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. This was a prime site for beggars. It was part of the Jewish faith, an expectation that people would give something to those in need. And this man has probably been taken there every day of his adult life, probably even as a child as well. And the fact that he was being taken there reminded me of the other story of the men who brought the paralyzed man to Jesus and lowered him down through the roof. So life was hard for this man. There was no hope. There was no expectation of change. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. This call of alms, alms rang out round the streets of Jerusalem as people begged for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. That's better. Then Peter said, "Look at us." Sounds like this guy is pretty dejected. Maybe no one stopped to talk to him or gave him the time of day. He was worthless in society's eyes and perhaps in his own eyes as well. People most likely just drop something in the passing. But Peter and James stopped. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Well, this was different. He thought maybe he was going to get a really generous gift. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you." Had he already switched off in disappointment? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. This powerful name of Jesus, which can bring healing and transformation. Taking him by his right hand, he helped him up. Instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went into the temple courts, walking and jumping, or if you know the song, leaping. Walking and jumping and praising God. You can imagine the smile on his face, his thankfulness for what God has done for him. He knew it wasn't about Peter or John. He knew it was about Jesus. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple called Beautiful. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. As the famous song says, beautiful day, a day of wonder and joy for this beggar, a life transformed. The wonder and amazement of those who couldn't believe their eyes, people who'd known him for perhaps all their lives. The joy for Peter and John to see God at work through them. And we believe that God can still heal today. We've seen it happen. I've been praying for my daughter's boyfriend who has had severe back pain. And yesterday I asked how he was, and she said, "It's unbelievable, the last couple of weeks, it's as if it's not there at all. He's so much better." And I told her that I've been praying for him. God hears and answers our prayers, because prayer can bring the unbelievable. God is a God of the unbelievable. And so we continue to pray. We continue to pray for Ian. We pray for Robin. We pray for those around them. We pray for healing. And perhaps if you're here today and you have pain, we would encourage you to come for healing. Nothing dramatic is going to be done to you. Something dramatic might happen to you. But we believe that God hears and answers prayer, and the prayer team will be here at the front. If you would like prayer for healing, for anything, then please come forward and ask for that. Notice that it was as Peter and John went about their normal business that this happened. It was a day like any other for them. It was a day like any other for the beggar, but God had plans to bring them together in a special way, a way that would bring glory to God the Father. And as believers, some of us today may not feel we've got much. We may not have much in terms of silver and gold, but we have something far greater. We have the power of God. We have the Holy Spirit of God within us. And we, each one of us, are able to pray for others around us who are in need. I'm sure that for them, living with an outward focus was what caused this to take place. If they'd just been thinking about getting to the temple, they might have not even seen him and walked past him. They weren't so caught up in their plans. They were going to do something which was good and right, but they didn't miss what God had for them. What can we learn from the passage this morning, just very simply, as we finish? To be devoted. What are we? What are you devoted to? What are priorities? The main priorities, perhaps. Is it your family? Is it your health and sport? Is it your job? Is it your studies? They're all good. They're all important. But not if it deflects our devotion to God. Let us be a devoted people, like these first believers who were devoted to teaching and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayer. Let us be a loving people who share what we have. They had everything in common. They shared what they had. Who care for each other and for those in need. Just seen that video earlier on. It just reminds us we are in such a broken world. And many people's lives are like that on the inside, though they may look as if they've got it together on the outside. And as we go into this week, let's be outward looking. Let's lift our eyes to God. That's the most important thing. And from there, look out to the needs of others and see what God will do. Please come for prayer if you want to commit to be doing these things, to make yourself accountable. Speak to Irene. Give your name to her to sign up. These are positive actions that you can do. Please pray for people that we've talked about. And it would be great just to see as many as possible, just short prayers, and then to go back to your seat during our time as we finish. Amen.